All right, welcome to Fast Break Breakfast. I'm Keith. I'm here as always with John and Chuck. John, how are you this fine day?
Doing a lot better as of that.
Get that salve. You need it.
So corny.
I'm a little corny today.
So corny.
Did you have a chance to have breakfast today, John?
I did, in fact. I had toast with butter and jam. The end.
Very traditional.
Balanced.
This is an 80-year-old English woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you
I had eggy in a basket.
Yes. You have some Earl Grey.
Chuck, how's your day going?
Good, man.
How did it start?
You know what? Arty's has got a special.
Is it something new?
No. It is a deal. two for $3.50 of the Velveeta and bologna.
What's the
biscuit?
What's the regular rate?
Regularly $2.69 each.
Oh!
So it's a steal.
You're a bargain hunter.
I try.
It's a steal at that price.
And I still had 89 cents on my gift card.
Oh, I thought you were out.
I was effectively out. I couldn't have a whole meal there. But when I saw that deal, I'm like, I better use this 80, almost 90 cents.
Keith's always trying to poke holes.
Is that a thing when you're ringing up, you're like, no, there's only 89 cents on there. Like, it won't pay for the whole thing.
I just hand it to him. I'm like,
they work it out.
Just use the rest on that and I'll pay for it.
On a scale of 1 to Hardee's, what was your shame when you asked to use the last 89 cents on the card?
I had zero shame. Why would you have any shame? I'm going to give Arty's money. I mean, Hardee's.
Hardee's.
I said Arty's.
It's like Arby's and Hardee's.
No, it's like Artie Lang. It's like
let's not bring Arby's down to Hardee's level.
Hey, those are both quality eating establishments.
And we appreciate the checks they cut us.
Horsey sauce.
To help us publish.
Would you like some horsey sauce with that?
Never for breakfast. For breakfast this morning, I had a cup of coffee and a large cup of Kroger brand boiled custard.
What?
Because 'tis the season.
What are you making things up now?
No.
Boiled custard?
Do you guys know? You know what? You don't know boiled custard?
I'm English. You're from Muskegon.
No, it's more of a southern thing. It's not sold everywhere.
Say
but
what?
It's like eggnog, but without the tangy eggnog flavor. I don't know. It's like sugar and eggs.
Without the booze?
So it's liquidy?
It's liquid. It's a liquid.
So it's like eggnog, but not eggnog.
It's eggnog, but not the same flavor.
You had that kid, and now you're 63 years old.
No, it's just like a dessert. It's like when we were growing up.
You had that kid, and now you're 3 years old.
When we were growing up, people would make it. Like my mom would make it. My grandmother would make it. But then Kroger sells it. Purity also sells it.
That's the type of thing you eat like the first time you're 14 and your parents leave. And you're like, I'll just have this sugar concoction.
No, it was like a dessert. Like you got to pour out like a 3 ounce little thing. It's like a thick, viscous liquid. Uh-huh. And you're like, this is delicious. It's just pure sugar.
How many ounces did you have?
Well, see, now that I'm an adult.
You had breakfast.
See, when I was a kid, you just sip it because you had to savor those 3 ounces that your parents thought that's enough sugar.
Uh-huh. You had a lot. Well,
I'm an adult. You know, you pour out like I use an old stadium cup. It's a
Steve McNair.
No, I'm gonna say it's actually a Dream Team 2 cup from McDonald's.
Wow.
It's a Joe Dumars cup.
Wow,
and it probably holds 32 ounces. I don't fill it up because I want to, you know, but probably 2/3.
We can agree Joe Dumars was the other than Christian Laettner the weakest Dream Teamer.
Man, how
he's on two?
Two, you're
he
right.
Was on two.
How
two,
furious! You're
right. I think
how furious was Isaiah after he gets left off of Dream Team 1? And then Dumars gets on Dream Team 2.
Dumars was a good player.
Who's next?
He also had few enemies.
Rick Mahorn.
Yeah. So that's what.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I had for breakfast.
Well, I'm glad you almost went into a diabetic coma on your.
I can handle a lot of sugar.
Can you?
I'll tell you a thing. I have what they call the sweet tooth.
Mm-hmm.
I eat lots of candy, and it used to be that if I ate enough candy, I would get ill. But I'll tell you, if you eat enough candy, your body adjusts.
Yeah. I have the exact opposite where I'm really fat, and they call that the sweet
I just found out, like, John and I are both bigger than Keith, but Keith's insides are rotten. There's no way.
I have the pregame. I am very similar to Lamar Odom on the pregame meals, just bags and bags of candy.
The Marshawn Lynch dish.
Yeah, and the Skittles.
Skittles up.
So we're close to that. All right, so that's where we're at with our various degrees of health in our breakfasts.
We're all going to die soon.
Very little nutrition for any of us.
Preserves.
All right, now after our breakfast information, we do what we call the breakfast in bed apologies. And this is where we apologize to various things we might have offended or said incorrectly in other episodes. John, would you like to go first?
John Luer, I besmirched you. You heard my plaintive plea for you to not play any longer for the Grizz. You took that plea, and you stuffed it right down my throat. You scored about 24 points in about as many minutes, and then double-dared me to death by draining all of these buckets. I think he hit some three-pointers, and then he did a double pump dunk.
Shut up. He not only did he stuff it down your throat, he stuffed it down the Miami Heat's throat.
Shut up. Shut up.
And he did all this while being on my brother-in-law's fantasy team.
Oh, which, double whammy.
So, yeah, there's the double dare. And he took the physical challenge by taking all of the fun out of my Grizz experience because I was in like a Mark Summers-esque OCD spiral of every time John Luer would score for us, I would then immediately check my fantasy team to see how it impacted everything.
Oh, jeez.
So, you know what? Damn you, John Luer. Apology rescinded. I will apologize to all of America for having to hear Pete Pranica and Brevin Knight incessantly call him Johnny Badger. My least favorite sports nickname.
I don't know who started this on Twitter, but some people on Twitter, Grizzlies people, are calling him Tennessee Dirk. So that cracks me up because it's kind of like the homeless man's Dirk. Mm-hmm. It's just Tennessee Dirk. So yeah, he did. Yeah, he had 20-12 in
John the Badger's actually.
John the Badger's much better. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Well, no, it's actually an old Disney cartoon that never made it to air. It's
too racist.
It was really racist. It had a lot to do with anti-Semitism. It was ridiculous. So,
well, I don't see why how that's any different from most Disney cartoons.
All right, Chuck, do you have an apology?
I'm sorry to the city of New York and all of their fans of basketball for having such crappy teams who stink and are terrible and suck and are bad and are terrible.
Wow.
So I'm sorry, New York.
Very magnanimous of you.
Yeah. I thought that the New York Knicks were on the right path. I was wrong. They are terrible.
You thought the Brooklyn Nets were on the right path.
I thought the Brooklyn Nets were good, and they aren't. They're the worst, and they're trying to sell every part of that team for nickels.
Wisely.
Karolinko traded to the Sixers.
Right.
For nothing.
Right. Traded to the Sixers to be waived and eventually to make it on the Cleveland Cavaliers and make me angry.
Glue factory.
Yeah. The Nets are terrible. Lionel Hollins is probably a bad coach and
most certainly
definitely a mediocre coach at most points of the season.
You know, you can argue a lot of things about Lionel Hollins, but he is cantankerous.
So, yeah. So, New York, man.
Sartorially splendiferous as
well. There was no reason for Derek Fisher to be a NBA coach this soon. No reason at all.
Scotty, the triangle.
Having a horrible time.
I don't blame Derek Fisher.
I blame Phil Jackson.
For what?
The triangle. Well, Scotty.
He's got to bring it in, and that's the... Dennis Rodman said he took 15 minutes.
Are we taking basketball advice from Dennis Rodman?
Why wouldn't you? He's one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
Well, he's a crazy person.
Yeah, but he's a basketball savant.
I take my global political advice from Dennis Rodman, I'll tell you.
It's true.
Yes. Did you hear
that? Dennis Rodman does he have a quote about the upcoming movie, the interview?
He's very upset about it.
Have you heard him on...
It's terrifying.
He was recently interviewed about his trip to Korea, and it was basically him sounding like Hulk Hogan.
He's got a very guttural voice. Sounds like a Japanese man.
Yeah.
Like Toshiro Mifune at the end of a samurai film. Yeah.
Well, that reference went way over me.
Yeah.
Same. No, I don't give a shit. I'm going to rat's ass what the hell you think. I'm saying to you, look at these guys here.
Listen.
Ain't no shield. I got it. Let me do this. Really? I'm going to tell you one thing. People around the world, I'm going to do one thing. Your guy behind the mic right now, we are the guys here doing one thing. We have to go back to America and take their
beef. Holy moly, that guy is on lewds.
Oh, he's got a mountain of them. There's a nuclear storage facility full of Quaaludes that Kim Jong-il...
When we all ran out of lewds in the late 70s or early 80s.
Wolf of Wall Street, I saw that.
Yeah, Kim Jong-il bought them all. He bought all the remaining ones from Pfizer or whoever else was selling them.
Well played, Kim.
Yeah. And now...
party at Kim's house.
Dennis Rodman knows the lewds are there, and they hand them out in like little Waterford Crystal bowls in houses.
I don't remember what your apology was for, but I'd like to apologize to Dr. Drew for having to deal with Dennis Rodman's stuff next season on Celebrity Therapy House.
I don't know how to. That is an unwell man.
Yeah, it's not really that funny.
Also, Dennis Rodman was my absolute favorite basketball player for probably a decade. When I was a kid, I had a wallet, like a little Velcro wallet. I still have a Velcro wallet, but I had a Velcro wallet where I'd written all the Pistons' names on there, and I had like the biggest on the front. It was like Dennis Rodman, the Worm. Like,
good Lord,
love that guy.
The Pistons killed basketball. What was wrong with you?
Everyone liked Larry Bird that I knew, and I watched a game where Dennis Rodman...
Because he's a basketball genius.
Yeah, and I guess I was always kind of a little anti-flow from the start, and everyone liking Larry Bird, I saw Dennis Rodman clothesline him on like a Sunday afternoon game, and the TV commentators were like, that's just a horrible play, and I was like, that's my guy, Dennis Rodman.
This gives me insight of why you have such hippie qualities.
It could be.
Those hippie locks you got.
All right, your fuchsia spots in your hair. Nobody knows what you look like, so I'm just going to go ahead and say a fuchsia spots.
I look
in your
like
hair.
A Luigi DiTome if I pull my hair back.
Pierced
right now.
Testicles.
I got the long hair, the beard. I got it.
You look like all European basketball players, but none of the sexy ones.
Yeah, I really let it go, and my wife hates everything about my appearance. She's dying for a haircut and a shave. Anyway.
Hey, look, did you tell her to lose weight while she was pregnant?
No. Daily.
Daily? Well, that makes sense.
We have an open communication. All right, so my
apology. It's your turn, Keith.
Oh, yeah, my apology. I'm going to apologize to John Burr. A couple weeks ago, Chuck and I gently chided him for him saying that the Atlanta Hawks could be the second best team in the East. And, their schedule has been easy, caveat. However, they're on a winning streak. They're looking good. They are very, I mean, the Bulls are not. The Cavs have kind of gotten it together. The Bulls are struggling a little bit. The Hawks look real good. So I apologize to John for our skepticism.
Don't include me in your apology.
You, I believe, are the ringleader, Chuck.
I have no recollection of this.
You said something about, like, is it breezy out on that limb?
Oh, that's right. I think you remember that? I do kind of remember that.
All right. All right. So those are our breakfast in bed apologies. John, you had a little...
Keith, I'm going to pray about this and get back to you on to whether or not I accept it.
You're so sanctimonious.
I appreciate it. So those are our apologies. All right. Now for the steak and eggs best thing. What was your best thing of the week? I'll start. A lot of times we focus on the minutia, the things that really entertain us.
Pronounced minute.
I will go big picture. The Warriors have been real good.
Yeah.
They've won 14 in a row. Uh-huh. Steve Kerr is just fell out of the broadcast booth. And
hired all the best assistants in the world.
And that also was one of the best things. I mean, I know we're getting a little tired of the Warriors owner. Is it Jacob LeCobb?
Lacob.
I've never said his name out loud until right now, so I don't know. But
the only one who really knows his name is Chris Mullins.
Yeah, so I know we're a little tired of the ripping on Mark Jackson story, but I was actually really entertained with the transcript of what he said when he was ripping on him, when he told Mark Jackson, like, hey, hire the best assistants. I want to get the best assistants. We'll hire whoever you want. And Mark Jackson says, oh, I know my staff's the best staff, to which LeCobb says, nope. Like, no, seriously, just go hire whoever the best. That's how business works. And so I thought that was a great mind into an owner who was like, you know what? There's no salary cap on assistant coaches. Let's hire the best guys. And so Kerr's like, yeah, let's get the best people. I've never coached, so let's do this.
Bring on Alvin Gentry.
So, yeah. So
bring on the best.
Yeah, yeah. So my best thing is the Warriors. They got it going on. And, I mean, in addition to the fact that they're winning, they are so much fun to watch. So, yeah, that's my best thing.
I hate to bring it back to Warrior Samurai Dennis Rodman, but he also made the observation and said, Steve Kerr ain't coaching nothing.
Steve Kerr ain't
coaching nothing.
Oh, and also,
you know I love you, Steve, but that is what he said.
And also best
with
thing.
With some expletives.
to continue on with that, the Steve Kerr, it makes me happy thinking about like him being courted by the Knicks and him being like, no, I'm going to go to this awesome team.
Yeah, that's really ridiculously talented.
And so like, yeah. So good for him. Good for those guys.
How deep are they? So they have their five.
Not very.
No. Well, I mean, in their win on Wednesday night against the Rockets, Bogut set out a game, which is like the red flag of the team. Is like,
right.
You know, how are they handled? No Bogut.
They've added cogs that are essential in that it lets them continue the style of play they like such as Spates and such as they can just play a different game. And really, the Draymond Green stepping up has been enormous. And just and the David Lee injury has let them find an identity without him that's going to make
where does he fit in when he comes when he gets healthy?
Barely
traded,
not at all.
Yeah. So where are we sending him?
Oh, back to New York.
Back to New York, right?
Yeah. Where else would he go?
Looks great in that orange and blue.
I mean, Draymond Green was playing center some in that Rockets game.
Oh, they have an amazing small ball lineup.
Their small ball lineup's great. I think the it'll be interesting to see on Tuesday they play the Grizzlies to see how that small ball, high octane offense meshes against the Grizzlies with their big front line.
I think we'll be all right. I think the Grizzlies.
You say, right. The Grizzlies have typically had the Warriors' number, but it'll be interesting to see a team that's super hot and playing amazing basketball, playing amazing defense in the Warriors and the Grizzlies who've been playing better. It's gonna be fun to watch those matchups: the small ball against the whatever, the grown man, the old man, YMCA ball.
Let me piggyback on your steak and eggs.
Yes,
because mine's fairly similar. I'm saying go ahead and book the conference finals already. In addition to that 14-game winning streak. The Clips have 9 straight games won in the West. And then over on the Eastern side, the Hawks and the Cavs have each won 8 apiece. I approve of this Eastern matchup. I'd love to see a series between the Hawks and the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
And barring a shark attack by the Grizzlies, I'm hoping that this would be a great Western Conference Finals.
Can we talk about this? Can we talk about this?
Between the Clips and the Warriors, excuse
me. Which part you want to talk about?
This whole shark thing. This shark attack.
Mark,
I don't know if
Mark the Shark.
Mark the Shark. We lose people
every time you say Mark the Shark. We lose 400 subscribers. So you should.
We only
know
have
that.
Like 300.
Exactly. We would have thousands more.
Yeah. No. We have 500.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Things are rolling,
dude. And we're in triple digits in Twitter followers.
Triple dig.
Say what?
But anyway,
Mark the Shark's never going to happen, John. So
Mark the Shark.
Stop trying to make Mark the Shark happen.
Basically, all I'm saying to you, Chuck, is if you want Mark the Shark to go away, you're going to need a bigger boat.
I just like to say the Clippers 9-game win streak is against the dregs of the world.
That's how this league works, though.
It is how the league works. It's not how the playoffs work. They got a miracle win against the Suns that was probably the best game of the year so far.
An absolute miracle. Blake Griffin madness shot.
He did not know the ball went in.
Yes, correct.
Like, he slumped shoulders and then came back up. But anyway, I think it's the same thing. The Clippers, their second unit is awful. I mean, Jamal Crawford's awesome. Fun to watch everything. He also takes one of our Twitter and friend of the show, Matt Sullivan, said, he is one of the guys who will take those end of the quarter shots no matter what. And he does. He's very entertaining.
He's not afraid of anything.
Not afraid of anything. But I don't see how the Clippers are going to make the conference finals with their current backup situation.
Well, Blake and Chris Paul both early in the season were not themselves. And now I feel like they are totally themselves and playing balls out. And this is, as much as I hate to give Doc Rivers any credit, easily the best DeAndre Jordan's ever played. Leading the league in rebounds.
Yeah.
Still nothing. You can't play him at the end of games. Almost no offense of any note other than lobs. But I mean, I think we're seeing the Clippers we expected to see now. And I think they're a prime candidate for trade.
They need to be, but I don't know. They have such a roster that I don't know who they can move and who on their team would even be enticing to get anyone else. Like, their backups are Glenn Davis and Hedo Turkoglu. And they're depending on them to like the Clipper narrative now is like, oh, I hope Turkoglu's healthy for the playoffs. Like, no, you've lost.
The battle
is over, son.
It's really insane how much that Matt Barnes' decline has hurt this team. Because it's a little bit like when the Grizzlies would have Tayshaun in and you can't, and the game kind of, it gets smaller.
Yep.
Because you don't have to worry about defending Barnes at all.
Yep.
And it changes the entire way that the Clips play. Chuck, what do you got?
Speaking of the Clippers, after the Magic's, the game between the Clippers and the Magic, Chris Paul had something to say in the post game.
Our best, so we're letting our defense dictate our offense.
Next question, please.
But yeah, basically, it was Chris Paul and Blake Griffin after the Magic game saying, how to handle things, and he was trying to say dictate. The defense dictates the offense.
How'd that dictate?
But he said the word beep. And that was...
And Blake Griffin's eyes got really big.
Blake Griffin loved it. And he asked for He asked for other people to ask more questions.
Next question.
So anyway, that was my favorite thing. I love awkward moments. Yep. And that's why I love Greg Popovich's interview styles with
Sager.
Do you think he's going to be nicer to Sager now that he has
He always was nice to Sager. I feel like people
You think?
I feel like people take Popovich's like terse, kind of gruff.
He's a misogynist. He only does it to the females.
Do you think I've always got that?
Funny.
Doris.
I think he's being funny.
Yeah.
Doris.
Doris Burke. Doris Burke's
great.
She's great. And like he just does things to her, and I feel like it's almost only to her.
Maybe it's to cover up their burgeoning and smoldering affair.
He's a military man. I believe our armed forces teach sexual harassment.
They do. Mm-hmm. Well, he's old school.
Tailhook, guys. Look it up.
Semper Fi.
Look it up to our younger listeners.
Tailhook?
Yeah. Isn't that what it's called?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm gonna Google
it. Don't ask, don't tell from the military man over here.
I'm gonna Google it.
Okay, tailhook.
Yeah, I think it was like a conference in Washington, D.C. where there was rampant sexual assaults on
code red.
People.
Oh, no.
Did you order the code red?
He went to the Air Force Academy. Right. That place is like an ecstasy factory. Like they're world renowned for being like humongous drug busts at the Air Force Academy.
Tailhook scandal. Wikipedia, boys. I nailed it. Anyway, all right. So your best was
funny, it was a silly clip where somebody said a dick word.
It was funny.
Thanks for the analysis, Chuck.
All right. So now for the opposite of the best thing, what is the worst thing? Oh, and I got bad news.
Oh no.
This segment's called the cream of wheat worst of week.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My wife let me know this. I didn't know this before we got married. She loves cream of wheat.
Oh, it's too late.
She likes lumpy. We have a child now, John.
Grounds for divorce?
We have a child now.
Look, as long as you stay involved in the child's life and beat him mercilessly, he'll always respect you.
The wife and I get along on everything, and my mind was blown. This cream of wheat revelation really, it shook me to my core.
All right, hole poker. But you just said that your wife hates your appearance.
Well, no, but we've never let that slow us down. That's one of the best things about her. Yeah. All right. So the cream of wheat worst of the week. This is the worst thing we saw this week. Any of you guys want to go and do yours?
I'll bring it back to the Nets. Corey Jefferson's air ball this week.
It's hard to be that far off.
Oh, man. And there were so many levels that were beautiful. It's easily the worst shot I've seen since. There have been a few missed free throws that are in the discussion, but I love that the ball ended up in last week's cream of wheat coach's kid, Kirk, squints from the Sandlock Heinrich, ended up with the ball, and and he looked really relieved. I think he must be a listener because he looked really relieved. He knew that no longer was he the helmsman there.
If you haven't seen it, we're talking about a three-pointer from the wing that was maybe like 9 feet to the right and about 4 feet short or something.
And let's give Corey Jefferson credit. And he was the second to last pick in the draft. He comes from Baylor, I believe. He's a Baylor Bear.
I don't even know.
And that's a terrible town and a terrible place. He's just happy to be there. The dude has strong Twitter emoji game. He, at CoreyJ34, dropped three crying, tears of, immense tears, and says, "It slipped, y'all."
No, you know what happened?
Oh, he said it slipped?
He said, it slipped, y'all. Hashtag popcorn hands. Hashtag, then there was nothing.
What's popcorn hands? Is that like you get oil and butter on your hands or something?
I guess so.
This is what happened.
Okay.
He held the X button for far too long. Far too long.
It's true.
He just couldn't control it. What was great, the greatest part of that was when he was trotting back down the court and you could literally see the weight of the 21 grams of his soul leaving his body.
Dude, you know what it looked like? When Chris Webber called that timeout in the NCAA championship.
Exactly. Oh. That is perfect.
With no consequences.
Did I just do that?
It was really funny. I watched this clip. The home team announcers actually, one of the color commentator guys.
It's a pass.
He went way out of his way to be like, "Now I'm going to tell you what happened here. I'm going to come into defense here." He went up to shoot, decided to pass. He got a little thrown off. There's no one on the Nets anywhere near under the goal. No one's, this is the Nets, a Lionel Hollins team. No one's cutting towards the goal.
Yeah. Good gravy.
Yeah, that should be the mid-season highlight of Shaqt and a Fool.
Although I think this week, this is not my worst, but wasn't it this week that Alfred Payton airballed consecutive free throws?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's never happened.
There's no way that's ever happened, right? Yep. An NBA player has airballed consecutive free throws?
It actually has.
It has?
Yeah, it happened in Space Jam. When Taz doesn't count. No, okay. I just thought.
When Sean Bradley's abilities were
taken? Yeah, when they just removed Sean Bradley's.
Otis Thorpe should have stepped onto the field and given Alfred Payton his walking papers.
There were a lot of bad things. So that was
good day, sir.
That wasn't my worst of the week. My other worst, this is not the Hornets wearing teal up against the Celtics wearing green over a court that's teal and purple while the sideline bench players wore blue shooting shirts.
You sure you weren't just tripping balls?
Yeah, I felt that way, but it was horrible. But that also is not my worst of the week. My worst of the week goes to Detroit basketball, who lost, and I mean, that honestly could be end of sentence, but specifically in a loss to the 6-76ers, they scored 1 point in overtime, 0-for-11 from the field, no field goals. That was, as we like to say, appointment viewing. That Sixers Pistons overtime was the most hideous thing, the most indefensible example of NBA basketball. There was a stretch, I want to say, of missed layup, blocked layup, turnover, missed layup. Like, it was 1-0.
To what degree was Josh Smith involved in this? Answer me truthfully.
I feel we're piling on Josh Smith. The problems run deeper. What is going on in Detroit?
And
I was listening to Rush Limbaugh, and he said Detroit's problems all had to do with unionized labor. So I think that's what we'll go with.
There's no argument. I agree.
We'll send in RoboCop.
The Pistons.
Duh.
That's what it is.
Is there any way you have
20 seconds to comply, 24 seconds.
Dead
to
or alive, you're coming with me, Stan Van Gundy.
I would like to see, the Nets are blowing their team up, or they're trying to.
Good for them.
They have the most untradeable contracts outside of Kirilenko.
We've said it before, oligarch gonna oligarch.
Oligarch gonna oligarch.
Well, Detroit has 10 power forwards.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? And they have multiple wings.
And Brandon Jennings.
And a Josh Smith.
You're right. And whatever he is.
We need to get...
PowerPoint center guard.
We need to get more Spencer Dinwiddie and more Luigi Datome.
Or...
That's the second Luigi Datome reference.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep.
And we're not done.
It's because I was changing my baby's diaper and pulled my hair back into a ponytail, and I saw the mirror, and I'm like, oh my god, I look just like him.
You need to start going with the man bun.
I'm just sad we talked about Detroit for this long and didn't mention Jonas Jerebenko.
Jerebko is my favorite.
Jerebko,
I think it's my favorite Piston.
Or Jerebenko.
Honestly,
I'm sorry, you guys.
I'm sad that the Jerebko Singler hair that was so strong, I think last year or 2 years ago, Singler's got like a real traditional short haircut. It's very disappointing.
He probably had some visits for some dudes and some gold chains. you can't be LARPing as Jerebko. You need to get your own hairdo, Bubba. No more LARPing as Jonas.
That's funny. All right, so those are our cream of wheat worst of week. All right, now for the Waffle House scattered, covered, smothered.
Scattered, smothered, and covered.
I never get this
Chuck,
right.
Chuck, is that correct?
Scattered, smothered, and covered.
That's right.
Well, you can also have them...
Chopped, diced, plugged,
mm-hmm.
hair plugged.
Greased, leased, and pleased.
Mm-hmm. We'll let that stand for a while.
We'll let that stand. All right. So what are some other, I think for this, actually, we're going to go over.
I have a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So John's going to give us a thing. We are a fourth of the way through the NBA season.
This is your quarter poll, first, second, and third team all NBA. I'm going to give you mine, fellers, and you guys tell me where I went wrong. At point guard, I don't think anyone will dispute this.
This is first team?
First team.
Okay.
Steph Curry.
There's no argument. I don't think.
Have you anything, Chuckster?
He's Steph Curry with the pop.
Boy. I would say I think Clippers homers will say Chris Paul. Chris Paul is playing great, but he's done most of his damage against, I think, bad teams. Steph Curry, I think, absolutely.
I think Steph Curry this year has exhibited a level of unstoppability that we're not used to from him, and I think a lot of it has to do with the new offense. But that's neither hither nor yon. Let's just go to
keep moving.
Shooting guard, which this year is actually deeper than most years,
mm-hmm.
But I think this is the easiest pick of everything except for maybe, there's three easy picks here, but James Harden.
It pains my soul as a as maybe a person who doesn't like the Rockets, but it's true.
And that farcical beard with that futuristic Demolition Man haircut.
Leading like or amongst the leaders in big deep breath, points per game, minutes, free throws, assists, steals, PER, usage, win shares, and any related statistic to those seven to eight, actually eight categories. And also, according to Sir Mix-a-Lot on Twitter, he told Steve Kerr to shut up during that Warriors game.
I like it.
And he almost won that game single-handedly.
I mean, the Rockets are 16-5. I'm not sure Dwight Howard helps them win ball games.
It must not be. We must be overrating what Dwight Howard and for lack of a better what's the power for? It's not Terrence Ross. It's
Terrence Jones.
Terrence Jones.
He's been hurt.
Yeah, Terrence Jones has been out for a while,
and he seems very good. And I think he's actually going to help a lot when he comes back.
Well, I don't know
they're playing really well.
I think
Demo's a good guy.
When Harden is out, they're running the offense through Demo. That's right. James Harden, right now, to me, is the MVP. And it pains me to say
that's
that,
too. That's strong. Yeah, yeah.
But it's it's coming from the free throw line. But you know what? He gets into the paint, and he's not really as floppy as I would think. And this is easily his best defensive year. I do not buy into him as this great defender all of a sudden. But he's now passable.
Here's the thing I will say, since we've given him love, and he gets a lot of criticism for defense, but he also gets a lot of criticism for being quote unquote unwatchable, and the Rockets are hard to watch.
Ugh.
And I think in a lot of it's because he has a knack for drawing fouls. Yeah. He throws his body into defenders. Here's the thing that I would like to see though. So that trick is not a basketball, it's an NBA specific trick.
You couldn't do it in Europe.
As in Europe, in the FIBA World Championships, he would throw himself into defenders, and as much grief as those FIBA refs got sometimes, they correctly would look at him and be like, you threw yourself into that, they wouldn't call a foul.
This is a soccer thing, by the way.
Yeah, and so also, if James Harden maybe was in your local pickup game, mm-hmm. or like your weekly pickup game, if you had a guy who did what James Harden did...
They'd take him off the email list.
He would be off the... Like, there's no way they'd invite him back. They're like, this guy is miserable to play with. Like, all he does is like, oh, I'd be guarding him, and then he would just throw his arms into my face.
He's the guy...
And be like, foul.
He's the guy who calls 3 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like...
rules, honky.
He could dominate basketball. I mean, he's a very good player. I'm not saying he's not an amazing player. I think it's hard to argue that he's definitely one of the top MVP candidates. But I would be curious if the NBA, because of these type foul calls that every fan base dislikes, and this is not just him, everyone does it. Like,
right.
the way they changed the rip-through shooting foul, like where if a player has his hand and you go up under him, they stopped giving those two free throws because it was just infuriating to everyone. Mm-hmm. And the way that they changed the... I'm going to turn back the clock a little. The 5-second back down rule for Charles Barkley, where Barkley would just dribble. He just pound the ball.
Had to do it.
And post it up. And they finally just said, you know what? For no other reason other than this is unwatchable, it's now illegal to dribble for back to the basket 5 seconds. LeBron this week actually got called for a 5-second.
It's funny you bring up Barkley. He deserved it. James Harden and Barkley share a similarity in that they have low center gravity for basketball players.
Yeah.
I know that sounds absurd, because these are the tallest mutants in the world, but they have low center of gravity for basketball players, and that allows them to bring a kind of old man game that is really hard to defend. But I'm going to go ahead and move on to small forward, and Chuck, I hope you're okay with this, but I'm going, and I hope this doesn't lead to another segment, but it probably will. I'm going with LeBron James, despite the slow start.
There's no better small forward in the NBA.
After a rough start, still an advanced stance monster.
Advanced stats.
Stance. No, he takes some very powerful lunge stances.
I can't breathe. You know, all kinds of stances.
Yeah.
It's a weak position this year. It's LeBron. Okay, well, I didn't get the rebuttal I was expecting.
Oh, there's nothing. Nothing to say.
The Cavs.
Oh.
There it is.
Dear.
That's a little... That sounds scorned.
That sounds like his announcing that he needs to do a thing. So we'll take a little aside... And this is a little segment, recurring segment, that we like to call...
It's back.
A scorned Heat fan texts a friend. These are real texts that Chuck sent to John in the summer of 2014.
All caps. We signed Bosch.
Wait, so Bosch is your favorite player now?
All caps. Gimme dang and we're number two in the East.
Take it easy, Chuck.
That's the weakest conference of all time.
I swear to God, Chuck, if you mention McBob or Granger one more time, I will f*** you up.
And there you have it. A scorned Heat fan texts a friend.
Straight back into first team All NBA.
Well, I would say, and a friend text back with some sauce that time.
I did.
Yeah.
I was at my breaking point.
Yeah, you'd heard a lot anyway. Sorry, keep going.
This one I think is indisputable. Power forward Anthony Davis,
no question,
putting up 5x5s to the likes of Tyreek Evans and Luke Babbitt.
Luke Babbitt,
PER of 32.9.
One point of record. Luke Babbitt's been on fire.
He's the starter now.
He's terrible at defense, mm-hmm. and he's actually terrible at all offense except for shooting threes. But he's found his 3-point stroke.
I like to think that a Babbitt is a baby rabbit.
A Charlie Babbitt. Here's where it gets a little chintzy, and I might get a little fishy even. Chuckles.
Uh-oh.
Center.
I think center was more interesting.
Here we go.
Mark the Shark Gasol.
He gets paid every time he says that.
I think center was more interesting until the viral meningitis came into our NBA lives. If DeMarcus... 2 weeks ago, it was a very interesting debate over Mark Gasol and DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins, unstoppable. He was only playing like 30 minutes a game and scoring 25 points.
Chuck, what do you think?
I think it works out for him that he gets viral meningitis. I mean...
He's taking the easy way out.
Well, look, this is what I'm saying. Like, that Kings team is fundamentally flawed. They're not built for a real run in any direction. So
Mike Malone
sick.
Is the coach.
Yeah, they get sick, and then it just ends up being, whatever, a mess.
Rudy Gay is the small forward. Ben McLemore.
Right. I mean, I like shopping.
Stauskas showed up. Yeah. Stauskas had his coming out party.
Fleetingly.
Mike Malone said he became a man tonight, which I feel like there's more to that story.
You say mazel tov. It was his bar mitzvah. But yeah, that I think you're at the end of the year, if we're looking big picture, if you know, I know you guys are judging it by the first quarter of the season, but if I'm betting on the entirety of this marathon, I'm not betting on the Kings, and you're not putting an all-NBA player. And this is where my, you know, if we're talking MVP, I don't think Anthony Davis is going to be even in the MVP consideration because he's not going to have a team that's in the playoffs.
In your own words, would you say Mark the Shark Gasol is the
He's the premier center in the NBA.
Repeat after me.
Mark Gasol.
Mark the Shark Gasol.
No.
Mark,
let it go.
Marcus,
let it go.
Marcus Gasilius.
I actually think that he beats Boogie out, and I think you can prove it statistically. And I think it's by virtue of showing up. If you go and check out NBA Basketball Reference, they have 47 statistical categories. It's the top 20 players in those categories.
Yeah.
Mark is in 31 of the 47 categories, and none of them the negative categories. Boogie only lands in 14. In closing, you're going to need a bigger boat, Boogie.
I think it'll be interesting at the end of the year if the Kings are, let's say, have 40 wins. Say they're 40 and 42, and DeMarcus Cousins averages 25 points a game.
Yeah, I actually don't know if Mark can keep this up, whereas I think Boogie,
right.
That's what he does.
It seems like, yeah, and I would agree to that. Like, I think there's a... Mark Gasol is going to finish the year averaging like maybe 18 or 19 a game,
right.
Which is great for the Grizzlies. I think that means the Grizzlies will keep winning, but I think he'll average like 18 and 7 or 18 right. and 8 and like 4 assists. And then Boogie's going to have 25 and 11. And like, I think those numbers might get him the all the first team.
Speaking of numbers, isn't it kind of weird that the points per game leader this year is at like 25.8?
Yeah, we see those.
Give Kevin time.
We see the ebb and flows. Oh, yeah, but I think.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Shall we move on to the second
team? Let's move on to the second team. This is where it gets real.
Point guard.
Okay.
You want me to say Chris Paul?
I do.
I'm not saying Chris Paul.
Are you going to say Kyle Lowry?
I'm saying Kyle Lowry. Offensive juggernaut.
He is, and I've said it before, he just reminds me the way he controls a game like Tim Hardaway. in his
but he now, scores more.
The yeah, well, now Tim Hardaway, when it came down to it, he could score points in
yeah,
very good situations.
Yeah, but Kyle Lowry's scoring like 22 points a game right now.
Yeah, and yeah, so it's that kind of like it more so from my perspective about game flow control and making the buckets at the right time.
He makes
it's what I see him do.
Yeah,
he's an assassin.
He's an assassin. He makes winning plays. He takes over games. I would say the only detractor for me is
complete lack of defense.
No. I would say like how people are. We have short memories. Mm-hmm. His last several games, he's been like to a fault, almost taking over. Like his usage rate
since DeRozan has gone down.
Yeah.
But you know what? The Raptors are still
trusting people.
They're still winning.
It's true. I mean, I think, what are they, 3-3?
I thought they were going to go up in smoke. I was very worried.
See, I thought they'd be fine. I thought actually without DeRozan, they'd be better than they've been.
Really? Because you thought Cap'n Lou would step up?
I thought Lou would step up.
Cap'n Lou has been terrible.
I thought Grievous Vasquez, well, since the injury.
Right. Lou's the only guy who stepped up is James Johnson.
Yeah, so I really thought Grievous Vasquez would step up and be fine. James Johnson would play more minutes. And they're doing okay, but I think a lot of it is maybe Kyle Lowry not trusting his guys. Anyway.
Who is there to trust, though? Although Jonas Valanciunas has been very good lately.
He's been better. I'm just saying.
That's an apology.
I know.
You demolished him at one point.
Let's say we can save that. All right, who's your small forward second team?
Shooting guard first.
Or shooting guard, sorry.
Klay Thompson. It was very close. The third teamer was very close. This was almost a coin flip. This comes down
it's to hard to say.
Klay Thompson being huge on defense as well as offense this year.
I guess the other one I would think about is Jimmy Butler.
Third teamer.
Okay, so like I think I would take Klay Thompson because he's been amazing. He really has. Yeah, I can't argue.
They're very similar. Klay has a higher usage rate and is showing up much better in defensive statistics. And it, basically, I think just the dominance of the Warriors, and I hate to do that, only the players from the good teams get talked about, but this isn't just the players from the good teams. This is the Warriors playing balls out basketball. You can't argue with players showing up on the All-NBA teams at this point.
It's true. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm fine with it. I mean, again, shooting guard is kind of a soft spot. If
it's better this year than
it really, it really has. Monte Ellis has been really good, and he's almost has taken over as the alpha dog in Dallas.
That's true, but he's still as inefficient as ever. And people who point to him being more efficient are not really paying attention.
Yeah,
because he is just as inefficient and still jacks up shots all the time. I think the Monte Ellis thing is a bit illusory. Because it's just his numbers are the same as they've always been. He's just on a team that wins now. It's different. It's different only in context.
Fair enough.
Small forward, I have Kawhi Leonard.
Small forward is
shallow.
It's very shallow, and it's almost one where I feel like maybe we should throw a powerful, because you don't necessarily on the All-NBA teams have to abide by small.
I thought that was only the All-Star team rules.
Yeah,
I think all NBA, you got to stick to it.
Yeah, you got to have a power forward center.
No, it's forward. I'm almost certain. Yeah.
Well, then
for
we got
to
say,
this is a fast break breakfast. Can we stick to the rules?
Well,
can we have some law and order around?
It's just because Kawhi Leonard has been. I mean, he's a good ball player,
yeah.
And I still think the Spurs are the best team in the NBA.
And I think he's their best player.
Yeah, and he could be, but it just he's been the fact that he's been underwhelming. Makes me sad to name him the second best small forward.
See, I don't think he's been underwhelming. People say that, but he is the best defensive player in the NBA right now. He is a defensive stopper, nonpareil. He has he's in the top five in defensive rating. He's number one in defensive win shares. He's just the guy plays defense better than anybody in the game right now. And a lot of he doesn't need to score. Why should he have to score when they get scoring from all positions? Why does he need to take more shots and be more involved and have a higher usage rate when he can expend that same energy on defense?
And really, that position for him is more a commentary on the position of small forward in general, I think, than anything.
Well, there's just less standouts, and a lot of your top, like a Carmelo who scores a lot, they're so awful.
I refuse.
Right. You can't even consider him.
I think
you're right. I can't think of anyone else who I would place there.
I mean, Paul George is injured. That would be another guy that would probably
Kevin Durant, obviously. He's going to take it over.
You guys are right. It's by virtue of injury alone, because my third team guy still isn't Melo. I refuse to give a guy
I don't know why.
who
please be Gordon Hayward.
Take it is Gordon
Hayward. Oh, spoiler! Third team spoiler. No, all right, so who's our power forward for our second team?
Blake Griffin. He spent the first few weeks taking mid range jumpers, but we're starting to see the vintage ginger pubes once again.
No Kevin Love.
No Kevin
no love. No love for Kevin.
No love for Kevin.
No LaMarcus Aldridge.
No, I do not. LaMarcus Aldridge, spoiler alert, did not make the third team.
He has had a couple of doozies of bad shooting games in the last week, but
he with Batum not playing as well, and I don't even think Aldridge. Sometimes I think he gets too much work because he's a turnover machine. I know that he's used a lot, but when the game seems to flow solely around Aldridge, sometimes it's a hindrance. That game, Batum needs to be more involved. They're best when those four cogs, you know, everyone but Robin Lopez, basically, Wes Matthews, Dame Lillard, when everyone is contributing, that's when they're best. When it's too Aldridge-specific, that's poor. And that, to me, that keeps them from making my All-NBA squads.
Yep. I mean, I think...
I totally understand why you would say that, though. He's a great player.
No, but I think you're right. I think Blake Griffin... I mean, Blake Griffin, again, that Suns-Clippers game where he hit the game winner, he had 45. He's an awesome player. He hasn't been getting to the line as much as he has been. He's rebounding at a lower rate. But, you know, it's still hard to argue with him being there.
I know who your third team power forward is.
Oh, you smell what I'm cooking?
I know what you're doing.
All right, well, I'm going to let you say it then when we get to it.
Okay.
Center, it's Boogie.
Yeah, it's Boogie. It's the sick Boogie. Yeah.
Second only to the Brown PER.
Yep.
Positively owning every advanced rebounding stat. I have him losing to Gasol only for a lesser all-around game and insane Grizzlies homerism.
Yeah.
I love it. I love homerism for the Grizzlies.
Can we move on to third team?
Grizz Nation.
Third team point guard. Could have been second team. To me, Chris Paul.
Okay.
Slow start. I think he might have been injured, but he's been incredibly strong. He's towards the top of PER and leading in offensive win shares.
Yeah.
Shooting guard, we've already talked about. It's Jimmy Butler.
Yep. I can't argue.
Gordon Hayward got that small forward spot by virtue of a weak position and just stuffing the stat sheet.
I mean, honestly, I would say they've been losing and losing.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems silly, but it's almost like a thing like, would Draymond Green be considered? Because the Warriors are good.
He's a power forward.
And he's playing, I mean, he is playing a lot of four.
Yeah.
But there's just, yeah, it's funny that there's no one.
And also with the shooting guard position, you could make a play at Kyle Korver as far as like.
Well, I was thinking like
statistically, wanted to do it, but it's just not enough time.
If I was doing it and I wouldn't specifically say small or power forward, I'd probably put Paul Millsap as my third team.
Actually my guess.
I would put
Paul Millsap as third team power forward.
Okay, power
that
forward.
Was my guy. That was the guy I was going with.
Yeah, I would just put him over.
Paul Millsap leads the league in steals.
Oh, yeah. And Gordon Hayward's right behind him.
Right. Yeah, he's real good.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Anthony Davis
is honestly, also top five.
We'll skip Gordon Hayward.
I've thought of it. I'd be remiss. A player hasn't been named.
Yes.
Who is unbelievably good and is on an incredible run. And that's John Wall.
Yeah. John Wall's been amazing.
John Wall is, oh man. So we have Curry, Paul,
Lowry.
Man,
I can't put Wall over him.
So far, based on the entirety of the season, I think you're right.
No, he's right.
But it seems one of those guard spots, again, this is where if we broke it down to just having two guards, I'd have to put Wall up there. John Wall has been out of his brain. He is the reason that team is good.
Oh, he would absolutely
be. It isn't anybody else.
He would absolutely be over probably both Klay Thompson and Jimmy Butler for me.
Yeah. John Wall, the Wizards are better than I thought they would be. And a lot of it is they refuse to lose at the end of the games.
Right.
John Wall puts his head down. He puts the plow down, as I had a basketball coach say once. Like, when you drive, put the plow down. He puts the plow down. He just goes straight to the front of the rim and scores. Like in the games, it's unstoppable. And like he gets fouled sometimes, gets and ones. So it's awkward. Yeah, I feel like John Wall should somehow be on there because he's been so good.
And he's
better than Gordon Hayward. Good Lord.
Certainly. Yeah. Certainly better than Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, certainly probably better than, you know, half the people we put up at shooting guard
yeah.
and small forward, you know, who are candidates he would destroy. We talked about Paul Millsap. It basically has to do with superior defensive game, really sneaky defensive game. Then at center, this is probably the most controversial thing I'm going to say. I have Andrew Bogut.
Okay. Okay. That's, yeah.
As third team.
It's, I mean, I don't know who else you'd pick, really, if you pick a true center.
I guess
mean, Tim, I'd say Duncan.
If you can even say Duncan, but really, Bogut is having an amazing defensive year. I know there's not a lot of scoring there, but he's still a playmaker, and the guy's near the top of every defensive advanced assist.
Tyler Zeller's looked better than advertised.
That is true.
Yeah, I would probably put Duncan because, again, I just have so much respect for the Spurs. But, you know, he hasn't necessarily played center. And yeah. Bogut's been – he is such a crucial cog. I can't – yeah. Joakim Noah has been disappointing. I mean
– very. It's been a down year for centers.
I don't blame him.
The top of the crop.
I feel like just the Bulls have been
Dwight Howard doesn't get any –
He's been hurt. So, yeah. I mean
– so, and we don't think he'll get better –
I mean, I think he's good, but he's a guy who I'm not sure again helps their team win. He's a guy when he's on the court, like they use him so much, and it's one of those things when if you're cheering against him, you're like, please, God, don't double team him.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like he posts up, and a lot of teams that I consider to be bad will double team him. And it's like, oh no, I don't care who you have. I don't care if, you know, like the shortest center in the league, Chuck Hayes, is guarding him. You let Chuck Hayes go one on one with Dwight Howard because he's going to miss most of his shots or turn it over a third of the time. So, yeah. I mean, if he gets healthy and they keep winning, yeah, he'll make a probably.
But. And I know my quarter pole all NBA teams are very Warrior centric. We're seeing a pretty amazing run.
We really are.
And this is a team that's locking in on all cylinders, and I think they deserve it. And it's just one per each team. Come on, folks.
It's true. All right, so if we've screwed up any of those really badly, let us know. Maybe tweet at us.
At Fast Break Break.
At Fast Break Break. We're on Facebook now. It's Facebook/, I'm going to say, Fast Break Podcast.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's either that or Facebook. Fast Break NBA.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, so get at us if we've forgotten your favorite player. NBA All-Star balloting's open. So rectify this and let's vote all the Cavs on there if we can, guys.
Rectify, nearly guiltify.
All right. And so yeah, this is since we wanted to talk about the quarter poll all NBA teams. Anything else we need to do before we do our Stackhouse of Pancakes?
There's a bit about Adam Silver.
Oh, I almost blew right through it. Chuck has a little thing that we enjoy. We missed it last week on the short week. This is our Chuck's. Excuse me, I don't want to take ownership. This is Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy of the week.
So, as I've had some interest in Adam Silver. You know, as the commissioner of the league that we love,
yes.
I think it's important to understand the management.
Yeah.
And I did some research on the internet and found some things out about Adam Silver. And I think you guys might be interested. I mean, it would be interesting for us.
Yeah,
to talk
I mean,
about.
He's a progressive guy. He seems interesting.
Yeah. So a little background about his history. As a young man, Adam Silver found a letter his grandfather wrote in a trunk in the attic of his mother's house.
Okay.
And this letter possessed him to become the man he is today. You see, guys, Adam Silver has always been a hustler. Having completely gone bald by the age of 13, Silver relied on his old man's face to sneak into pool halls, where he was known for his signature black satin jacket, fingerless gloves, and a talent for trick shots. By the time he was 18... he had navigated the criminal gambling underworld and accumulated enough money to put himself through college and buy a custom Ford Fairlane with the word silver-tongued airbrushed on the hood.
That's too many letters.
It's just enough.
This smacks of fiction.
His plan was to go to college so his mother would get off his back, but he knew he was going to flunk out. But then he found this letter. It was a letter his grandfather wrote. People always told him he was just like his granddad. And the letter basically outlined a world where gambling was legal, and it changed young Silver's life.
Mm.
And now, Adam Silver, brave man, stepped on the front lines on behalf of gambling rights.
Yeah.
The rights of the gambler. Those beautiful, gorgeous American rights.
Thank you, Joe.
It's true.
So basically, this letter from this grandfather changed his world. And
wait, I got this one. Is the conspiracy that his grandfather was Biff from Back to the Future?
No.
He had the 1955 Sports Almanac?
Son of the
2015.
His grandfather was actually...
That's next year.
Arnold Ace Rothstein.
Oh. The Black Sox guy?
Yeah.
The guy who threw the 1919 World Series?
This is true, guys. He, that's his granddad, and to this day, he says a little prayer to him before he goes and commissions.
In that letter, did Arnold Rothstein prophesy about the FanDuel?
He did. He
and
said,
how FanDuel will be interlaced.
He said, one day this
the
thing,
NBA.
The internet, will exist on wires.
Daily gambling.
And yeah, people will make billions of dollars off of it. Something you guys actually might not know about Adam Silver.
I didn't know any of that, but keep giving me another one.
Here's another thing. He actually won the ability to become commissioner of the NBA.
Oh, yeah?
When he bet David Stern in a game of Flip Cup. They were playing Flip Cup in the NBA office.
Philadelphia.
And he beat him one-on-one in a game of Flip
Cup. I've heard Dave Stern's amazing.
Dude, he is.
Was Tim Donaghy officiating?
Yeah, he was. Well, really, David Stern's more of a beer pong guy.
Yeah.
So.
You don't say.
So that's my conspiracy.
That one seems a little far-fetched.
And no, I think it's right. I think it explains a lot of things. It explains how such a kind of awkward, skinny, tall man rose to be the commissioner of soon to be,
I think,
the greatest sports league in the...
I have a better conspiracy. I think he's Slugworth from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Possible. He's buying the secrets of the Everlasting Gobstopper.
He bought the Everlasting Gobstopper. Yeah. They are dead ringers. It is terrifying. You drink fizzy lifting drink.
So you tell me he doesn't look like a guy that wears a satin jacket with fingerless gloves practicing trick shots at a pool hall.
I guess you're right.
He looks just like that.
When you're right, you're right.
And there you have it.
That pool stick better be called Doom.
That is Chuck's Turkey Bacon Conspiracy of the Week. All right, and now quickly, the awards segment. The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, which goes to the worst performance in a box score of the week. We have three very deserving nominees. Number one, a person you don't see often in our in this segment.
Reggie Evans.
No. Manu Ginobili.
Oh, no, you see him.
In a loss to the Jazz.
Oh.
Yes.
3-17.
That's winning.
For 10 points.
That's going to win.
But he did have a, what is this? He had 8 boards, a couple assists.
Dang, dog.
Our next.
Thankfully, we look at entire lines, not just scoring.
I mean, we care about
basketball.
The shooting percentage is probably the strongest element. But anyway, all right. Our next.
It can be mitigated.
Our next nominee is one, Monte Ellis.
I've referenced him earlier.
Who was 1-for-11 for 2 points. But in his defense...
I think he had 10 assists.
Tony Allen done shut the water off.
That's right. So I texted a friend about it that night.
Can we call Tony Allen the Levy?
God, Tony Allen
I would love
so
for
hilarious.
Him to be called the Levy.
Not only Tony did he Allen, shut the water off, he also debuted the done shut the water off dance.
And he also... I believe he put all his antennas on him or something. He's like, I'll put all my antennas on him. Like, that's his way of, like, focusing in with the antennas.
It's an insectoid reference.
That's actually far more intellectual than I would have given.
Tony Allen, you don't know anything about Tony Allen.
Listen to every Tony Allen interview. It is gold. It is just, it's intelligent, and it's funny, and it's...
Intelligent?
Google Tony Allen Van.
I one time heard a Tony Allen interview where he was asked how he was following someone around a screen, how difficult it is, like,
to follow. No, it's not.
And then he goes, I just go around it.
See, that
is his answer.
See, that's
how do you find yourself getting around that? What kind of work do you have to do?
That's some Chauncey Gardner, Peter Sellers, and being there level.
That is
brilliance.
That is a Popovichian answer. Yeah. When they ask him a question, how do you get around that screen? And he says, oh, I just go around it.
Like LeBron will be like, well, what I do is I have to make sure he doesn't get on my back hip so I don't. And he breaks it down into nerd terms, and he's just like, I just got to go around him.
On the.
Uses some Rogaine and then maybe some. Just for men on the Rogaine.
We haven't even talked about his hairline this week.
No, we did. The Jaguar hormones, they're wearing off. We talked about that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Okay. All right. And so we have Manu Ginobili, 3 for 17. We have Monte Ellis, 1 for 11. And then we have Bradley Beal.
I know this line. Gross.
Bradley Beal played 36 minutes. Mm-hmm. He was 4 for 18 from the field, which is not the worst we've seen.
No.
He did, however, have no rebounds, no assists, and 4 turnovers.
In the name of Tony Allen's double leg kick first down dance, I vote Monte Ellis. I don't think it matters that he had an elite defender against him. I think if anything, that should be more.
I think, Chuck, how do you feel?
I always think San Antonio Spurs are going to be the worst.
So you think Manu Ginobili?
No. I hate Manu Ginobili.
I think I strongly thought Bradley Beal's going to get this.
No.
He didn't get a rebound or an assist in 36 minutes as a shooting guard.
To try really hard for that.
And 4 for 18.
All he does is stand in the corner and chuck him up.
All right, so
it's Monte Ellis.
Is it Monte Ellis?
He's the straw that stirs the drink in this scenario, and he got shut down. And they lost the game by double digits.
I'm not sure we'll see another player play 36 minutes and not get a rebound or an assist and shoot under 25% from the field. Those are my three conditions. All right, Chuck.
Okay, what do you say? Okay, because obviously we're at a three-way break, so I would say I would have to go with Monte Ellis.
Okay, Monte Ellis, you are the Week 6 International Stackhouse of Pancake Award winner. Congratulations.
Tony Allen voice, grit, grind.
Grit, grind.
Tony Allen will probably put a few guys on this list.
We should hashtag that.
We love this man.
He's that dude.
Let's talk about him more in the Grizzlies epilogue.
I'll be gone.
It's all a right. bet.
Yeah. So now for, I think, our par fadeaway, do we have anything else to watch for, or are we just going to wrap it up because we've been talking?
Yeah, I got stuff to talk about.
What is it?
Who will the Rockets trade for in the next week? They have that exception.
They have
move.
The exception. They said they want to use it.
I've heard it might be something Largo. Key Largo. A better player than we would think. Could it be Lance Stephenson? Could they do the reclamation?
That would be wild.
No way they're going to get that.
I don't know why they would do it.
I don't know why Charlotte would bail so soon.
I would bail if I was Charlotte.
I think Charlotte's going to bail.
I think the Nets are a ripe picking ground. I believe everyone on that team is for sale for the right price.
You know, they had interest in Deron Williams back in the day.
That would be a very
don't do
very
it, Rockets.
Interesting.
It doesn't make any sense.
Don't do it, Rockets.
Although Nick Johnson has not looked good.
And they
looked great in summer league, but
I think Pat
matter.
Beverly would be a very strong player coming off the bench for extended minutes. And
Pat Beverly is a strong player regardless.
And it is wild that they got the Jet. They got Jet Terry playing, yeah.
He's playing good minutes.
He's played well. It's so confusing.
He's not a guy you want to lean on, but
no.
Unless anybody else has one, I have another.
Sure.
Kobe at point guard, please.
The Lakers freak show continues.
Did you see that?
There are rumblings.
Yeah.
My favorite thing, it was going to be nearly my best of the week, was Kobe shooting over 5 players at the end of the first quarter against the Kings.
I'm
going to
get a screen cap of that.
It's literally all 5 players, and he's
5 like players are off their feet,
37
to block a
feet
shot.
Away from the rim, and it was a last, last second shot, which
doesn't
we
matter.
Do agree here on
it's
Fast Break
children's
Breakfast.
Soccer.
It's microcosmic.
Everyone's around the ball.
We were dogging people taking end of quarter shots, and he did it.
Kobe's chasing Jordan. He's got to be shooting. Those
he's got to shoot every shot he can take.
He doesn't know when those Achilles are going to go.
That's a microcosm. It's a. A small, it's a, it serves as a tableau for his entire career.
I will say coming up this week on Tuesday and Wednesday, the Memphis Grizzlies, who I can mention in a broader NBA sense because they're pretty good, they play the Warriors and the Spurs on consecutive days on a back-to-back. That'll be fun to watch. Just win one.
Beat them up, Shark.
But it'll be good.
Put the chum in the water, Shark.
All right, guys. So I think that will wrap us up. Thanks for listening. If you are Tim Hardaway Jr. or Carmelo Anthony, I hope you guys work it out. So yeah,
Just remember, you guys, breakfast is the most important thing. Have a good one.
All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue.
With special guest, Chuckle Hut Anderson.
Chuck stuck around, even though he's bailed the last couple of weeks because he doesn't want to hear us talk because he's depressed about the Heat.
I'm here in protest.
I have him locked to the ground, CIA style.
Okay, in the last week, the Grizzlies went 2-1. They lost to the Spurs, which means they lost consecutive games.
Like you do.
Heat and Spurs. The Grizzlies have made it a habit of losing to the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
The game...
Not counting one amazing comeback last year.
Yeah. Oh, no, they lost that game.
You're right, they did.
They made an amazing comeback.
Ding, dang, dong.
Into overtime.
And they lost in overtime.
It was a really good game. The Spurs got up big in the first quarter, and then it was over. Like, the Grizzlies couldn't get over the hump. The Spurs shot amazing from three-point range.
Like they do.
The Grizzlies seem to pack the paint and let teams shoot. This happened in the Mavericks game, where apparently it was the game plan to go under the screens and let them keep shooting. And it's uncomfortable because when a team hits like 8 of the first 10, you're like, we're getting rolled. But it worked out. In that Spurs
game...
They're
playing the long con.
Yeah. In that Spurs game, the Grizzlies played great, you know, for them. Mm-hmm. The Grizzlies played really well. But then it was just they couldn't get over that slow start. And so part of that's a little concerning for Grizz fans.
What's concerning is you let an 80-year-old man get a triple-double on you.
Hey, now.
He's so good. He's so good.
I'm just saying. His name is Timothy Duncan. And there's
Should we be more concerned about that or that the Heat allowed John Luehr to score 20 and 12 in 20 minutes?
Listen.
Yeah, this is on you, Chuck. You opened this wound.
John Luehr. John Luehr. You guys talk all this crap about John Luehr, and then he plays one good game against the Heat.
He's terrible.
You were ready to cut him 1 week ago and play rookies.
I don't want to cut him. I want him to still be the victory cigar.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's an amazing 11th guy, 12th guy.
Yeah. Human victory cigar, John Luehr.
In that Grizzlies loss to the Spurs, Tayshaun, out of his gourd.
8 of 11.
4 for 4, three-pointer, scored 20 points. If Coupon had had that game, he would have stared down Jaeger and gotten himself suspended again.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's good to know. I mean, you guys just can't beat the Spurs.
No.
It's 9 straight.
It's good to have one team you can't beat, right?
Yeah. Mine is for the Heat, it's the Western Conference.
Actually, I'm going to go against that. It's bad to have one team you can't beat when you are very likely to face them in the playoffs.
Nah. We'll leave that to somebody else. Maybe someone else will draw them.
Yeah, and just imagine if Tony Parker played the whole game. You guys might not even have been in it at all.
It's true.
Because he left in the third.
It's true. All right, so then the next game, the Grizzlies had a chance to break their two-game slide by facing up with the Heat, who they're fine for the East, but I'm honestly not trolling Chuck when I say they're not good as the West teams, and it was a pretty easy win, even though it was, they played him even for a while, and then they finally clamped down.
Yeah, the Heat were within 7 going into the fourth. I thought that they were, were keeping up, but when you've got a game, where Bosch, well, he didn't play terrible. He was, 50% from the floor. But he only had 12 points.
You need more than 12 from him.
You need more than 5 free throws. You got to get to the line.
I don't even count this game because Heat are so bad against bigs.
Yeah.
That's what they struggle. We are the bigs.
Yeah.
They don't. Yeah. Not having Anderson. No Birdman.
When you're not playing Hassan Whiteside.
It would have been because that, honestly, I'll count that as a Hassan Whiteside revenge game because he was in Grizzlies training camp. So then the Mavs game, the Grizzlies, that's a great win
Chuck,
for them.
We're very friendly. We glossed right over that.
The third quarter of the Mavs game goes into the pantheon of great quarters for the year so far. They just shut down. The defense shut down. Once again, Tayshaun Prince. And we've argued about Tayshaun Prince. And you still, John, you still don't enjoy?
No.
You wish we'd get someone else? The Grizzlies would get someone else?
No. Keith is referencing a text battle we have wherein I am open to the idea of getting a pick. For
a future pick,
and
a lot of this is
for some sort of, and this is all conjecture, some sort of Kufis Prince combo. And Dion Waiters has been mentioned. I have no interest in Dion Waiters,
right?
But I've heard of us flipping something for KJ McDaniels, which is even double Jeopardy conjecture.
Right.
And Keith's response to me via text, and this is the worst thing you can say to a person.
I said it as an insult, so I'm glad you took it as such.
Do you even watch basketball?
he was saying he was so hoping to trade Tayshaun Prince and his hardcore Grizzly fans. My insult to John was, do you even watch the games?
I will point out, last year, Tayshaun was 54th out of 58th possible small forwards.
He played too much.
In PER. I will point out that he is very old. I will point out that until now, his contract was a burden. I will point out that he's a perfect trade asset right now. I will point out that this is the perfect time to trade Tayshaun Prince.
There is no, once you make it to the final year of a contract,
right,
there is no longer an incentive to trade.
That is true.
I mean, unless you can get someone good, who has a longer contract, who you're like wouldn't sign here initially?
I actually think Tayshaun, because of his length, is still a valuable player off of the bench. As a starter, disaster, hated it. I love Tony being back in the starting
lineup.
This
Dallas game kind of showed that your defense, they made 18 threes.
Right.
And you're not getting out of the West ever allowing a team to shoot and make 18 threes.
Well, they made 18 threes and the Grizzlies won by 9.
Right. Yes. And so, it. I mean, you got to have when you're playing San Antonio, because the three pointer makes your silly.
No,
they
went under everything. They said we're gonna let them bomb away, and they had 43.
Right. So but you have to get through the West in the playoffs, and that's the big picture. And you're not gonna if you're allowing those type of shots to be taken, you have to have more length and athleticism.
The Spurs will beat you.
Yeah. Right. The Spurs, the Warriors.
But we would never do that against either of those teams.
My take in the preseason, my take was, we're bringing Vince Carter in and Quincy Pondexter is going to be the wing guy. And my take back then was like, are we convinced that those guys are better than Tayshaun Prince? Even though Tayshaun Prince is not optimal. And apparently Tayshaun Prince, he claims he was hurt all of last year. And now that he's better. I'm just saying if he can hit those corner threes at a 40% clip.
If he stays in the corner and just plays defense, I have no problem.
His defense is awesome. He's had several block shots where you're like.
He always has been. Earthworm Jim is a great defender.
I think ultimately, though, what will keep you guys.
But KJ McDaniels, I'll take him.
What will keep you guys in no way, shape, or form in the talks for a championship is the fact that Marc Gasol is officially a superstar.
Right.
Four 30-point games so far this year.
Shark attack.
Officially the guy that now the whole team is built around. Everybody knows it. There was a weird power struggle, I think. Maybe
the great
you can
white
correct
shark.
Me where Zebo was kind of the alpha for it, but now
it seems Zebo's accepted.
Yeah. Right. It's like without doubt, Marc Gasol is the alpha male and it works perfectly with Conley in those pick and rolls. So
the Conley Gasol interaction, they're toying with people.
Yeah. Agreed.
And I saw Marc Gasol run a pick and roll this week.
Yeah.
It was
terrifying.
He was the dribbler.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. It's great.
But I've now hit a point where I'm a little worried that people are like, oh, we got to keep all these pieces together for a playoff run. If we're presented with a pick, I'm a big Kostakoufos fan, but if we can improve the team for the, especially, we're about to try to re-sign Marc Gasol.
Right.
I don't want this to be a last ride because I wouldn't bank on this team to win it all, honestly. I love this team. I think it's the best Grizz team we've seen, but this is a historically tough Western Conference. I want to be good for years.
Your team last year was probably better.
I think Chuck's right. I thought something the way the world has aligned, I thought last year's team was better from top to bottom.
Right.
But however, I think their peak might be higher this year because Marc Gasol is so much better. And if Mike Conley keeps shooting this well.
Yeah. Conley's being very underrated.
But my argument against trading anyone is we've proven that this core and this front office can keep together a team that's a playoff contender.
Right.
My argument is, this year, because maybe Oklahoma City struggles to get in the playoffs, or they have to do the whole playoffs without having home court, this year the window might be open. I would be hard-pressed to trade our only big backup that can play. I would want to get something back.
We would have to make another deal.
Just trading
Kupas. And Deion Waiters couldn't stay on this team.
No, I don't. We don't need that.
I don't think that would happen either, though. I mean, that certainly doesn't seem like a Hollinger guy.
No, I don't
even think we'll get involved in these trades, honestly.
I agree. I think they're still hoping on Vince Carter's resurrection. He's
sleeper
been
agent.
So bad.
Dallas Mavericks Dallas sleeper Mavericks agent.
He was.
Mark my words. You'll love Vince Carter. Eventually.
You keep saying that. I'm going to look this up for next week on Basketball Reference. What Vince Carter is shooting on no dribble catch and shoot opportunities.
It's garbage.
No, I want to say it's really good.
Really?
I want to say he's something like 2 for or maybe like 3 for 4.
This year,
he's only taken 4 shots off no dribbles.
Well,
like,
see, that's
open.
A problem.
Every shot he takes is off the dribble, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't.
In his defense, and he also gets the ball late in the shot clock every time.
He does, but honestly, yeah. I need to look at these numbers to not be speaking just off my eyeball test. I feel like he's not. I feel like he's shooting a lot off the dribble with 13 seconds on the shot clock. He's just getting
that's
like
brutal.
A screen, shooting, and being like, "Oh, I'm feeling it fading away." He's been horrible.
That's
but
brutal.
Again, the Grizzlies are whatever the record is, 17-4.
He's made coupon.
Yeah,
look
17-4.
Positively useful.
It's a hilarious to compare the shot charts of those two because it's red everywhere. Look red
like
is bad.
Looks like the Chinese flag.
That's a good way to wrap it up. Thanks for sticking around and listening to the Grizzlies epilogue. Big week for the Grizzlies. All of December they have a lot of really hard games, but again that this weekend is almost not fun to watch. It's Hornets at home and Sixers on the road.
I love those games.
Those are for me. Those are two games that you can derive no joy from.
Nah,
you just have to survive them.
There is nothing wrong with enjoying a wire to wire ass whooping.
Uh-huh. No. If that happens, it's enjoyable. I'm just saying you're just worried about like, oh, you can't. If you win, you just did what you expected.
I have just one rule for that, and that is Game 5 of the 2012 NBA Finals. That's the Mike Miller game.
Mike Miller game.
Wire to wire. It's beautiful. Without a question.
I miss him every day.
It's beautiful.
And it's Miller time.
And his Great Dane riding donkeys.
I look forward to Mike Miller waking
Great
up.
Great Dane riding monkeys.
Monkeys, not donkeys. I'm sorry. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. That's the Grizzlies epilogue. Check us out at Fast Break Break. Have a wonderful day.
#MarkTheGreatWhiteShark.